Well, we're going to look again at that passage that we read earlier from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. If you want to either get out your bulletin order of worship and flip over, or turn in your Bible, whichever is best for you. I want to share a little information with you. It's not a secret or anything, but, you know, there are a lot of you who... I know who you are from a distance, even if I can't recognize you, from the way you walk. You know that? Do you know that many of you have a distinctive way of walking? Many of you do. You know, I'm sure I do as well. I'm sure you could say the same thing about me, that, you know, that you just have a way of walking or maybe standing or whatever, that's somewhat distinctive. And you've noticed that, haven't you? There are some people, you know who it is from a distance just because they have this... I don't want to say peculiar, but distinctive walk, right? Well, that's just a fact of life. But let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about the fact that we are to have a distinctive walk as Christians? Did you know that? You know, the Bible uses the word walk, in particular the New Testament, and especially the Apostle Paul, to refer to lifestyle. That's what he's talking about. And the Bible often talks about our walk. In fact, in this letter to the church at Ephesus, it's one of Paul's seemingly favorite words, is the word walk. He uses the first three chapters of Ephesians to just explain and describe the wonderful, glorious work that God has done, both on an individual level and on a corporate level, to save us and make us part of his church. And then he starts in chapter 4 saying, since this is true, you need to walk in a certain way. In other words, you need to live a certain way. And in this fifth chapter, Paul uses the word walk three times. He uses it in verse 2. He uses it in verse 8. And then he uses it in verse 15. And we're going to use that, those three instances of his use of the word walk, to frame what the order of service calls a devotional challenge. All right? This is not a sermon, okay? We don't have time for me to do a sermon on these 21 verses. But so it's just going to be a brief devotional challenge. If you need a sermon, I have preached a series of sermons from Ephesians 2 or 3 years ago on Sunday evening. So you could probably find those archived somewhere if you're interested. But this is just a brief devotional challenge. Emphasis on the challenge. First of all, notice that Paul says we are to walk in love. We're to walk in love. That is, we are to have a lifestyle of love. We are to be a loving people. This is not new. This is not something this is not the first time you've heard this. Throughout Scripture, what did Jesus say would mark out his disciples? By this all men will know that you are my disciples. What? By the love that you have for one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, that great chapter where Paul talks about love, writes about love, and describes the kind of love that we are to have for one another, he finishes up by saying, now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, right? We all know this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter says, above all, let your love for one another be known to all. Let love be the thing that characterizes you, the thing that is distinctive about you. So the first quality of your walk and my walk in the Lord is to be love. And he gets even a little more specific, doesn't he? You see what he says there in verse 2? Walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The love of Christ made itself known in selflessness, in service and in sacrifice for us. And that's how our love is to make itself known. Again, John says, let us not love little children. Let us not love in word or in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. So let me just recommend a few points of application. First of all, begin each day with prayer that the Lord would empower you to act in love in every encounter with another person. With every person you encounter that day, ask the Lord, begin the day asking that the Lord would help you to act in love toward every person you meet, starting with those closest to you. For some of you, that'll be the hardest. That'll be the most difficult. And then consciously think to yourself throughout the day, as often as it comes to mind, consciously try to keep in the forefront of your thinking, walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. And especially when you find yourself in a situation where that's the last thing you want to do. When you find yourself with someone that it is very difficult for you to respond in a loving way. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to walk in love. Help me to respond in love. Help me to demonstrate the love of Christ in my, not think of myself, my rights, my desires, my offenses. But Lord, help me to sacrifice those for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of being able to live out the example that Christ has set for me. Walk in love. And then at the end of each day, when you look back on the opportunity you've had and how you responded and how you've blown it, because you will, we all do, ask the Lord to forgive you and recommit yourself. Commit that by God's grace, tomorrow you're going to start all over. But tomorrow's going to be better. You're going to do a better job tomorrow. And make that your commitment to walk in love throughout this new year, 2012, towards everyone you meet. Well, that's the first. The second walk, Paul writes, says in verse 8, he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, walk in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, John writes this. This is the message we have heard from Him, that is God, and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now notice what leads up and what comes after this injunction or exhortation to walk in the light or walk as children of light. Let me begin reading in verse 3. We already read it, but it doesn't hurt to read it again. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness. You see, that's what Paul has just described. That's the darkness. I don't have this on, do I? Let me do that in case I wander here. I was wondering why I got quieter when I moved over here. Paul describes the things that characterize darkness and those who walk in the darkness. He said, that's not you. That's not how you're to live. Walk in the light because you are children of light. Don't be characterized by immorality, impurity, covetousness, or even in the way you talk, filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. And then he goes on in verse 9. He says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed with the light, it becomes visible. So, living in fellowship with God is living in the light. It's walking in the light. It is, you know, I feel silly even trying to have to, or feeling like I even have to explain that. You know what walking in the light is. You know what walking in the darkness is. You know what the scripture says about how you're to live and how we are to live. Let me just give a couple of implications and then a few points of application. First of all, implications. We are to avoid anything that is characterized by immorality, impurity, idolatry, covetousness, which I believe here, I believe Paul used it because of the context. I believe he's talking about both lust and greed. Covetousness, that is desiring someone that belongs to somebody else as well as something that belongs to somebody else. In context, I think that's what Paul is referring to. So, we are to go to any and every length to avoid those kinds of things. And while that sounds pretty self-evident for us, we live in an age, in a world, where it is increasingly more and more difficult to do. How do you avoid being bombarded by this kind of stuff? Well, we can't leave the world, but we need to learn how to walk in the light, even in a world of darkness. I've used this statement before. It is not original with me, but many times believers, Christians, will say, well, you know, where's the line between what is okay and what is not okay? Where's the line between, you know, things that I should be involved in and things that I shouldn't be involved in? How can you give me discernment on, you know, on finding that line? We need to stop looking for a line and start creating gaps. We should not even be getting close to those areas that are characterized by darkness. Things like immorality and impurity. And notice Paul says in our language, filthiness, foolish talking or crude joking. We need to be careful even about the jokes, not that just that we tell, but that we listen to. And by our failure, by our listening, give assent to. So, application. Watch what you watch. Television, movies. Watch what you read. Watch where you surf the internet. Watch your input. What you are exposing yourself to. You cannot take fire in your bosom and not be burned. Let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. We cannot be too careful in this area. You could ask yourself the question, when you're enjoying entertainment, whatever it may be, would I want my parents to be here? Would I want one of the deacons to be here? Pastor? Would I want Jesus to be here? Because He is, right? We need to be creating gaps. Well, walk in love, walk in the light. And thirdly, walk in wisdom. Paul writes in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." You could say Paul saying walk carefully, but he qualifies that a little bit by saying not as unwise, but as wise. So let's walk wisely. See, there are some things that don't fit into neat categories of light and darkness, perhaps sometimes. Or maybe they are not darkness, but as has often been said, sometimes our choices have to be not between good and bad, good and evil, but between good and better, or good and best. So we need to walk wisely. There are things that we do on a regular basis that in and of themselves are not evil. But the question is, are they wise? That's the issue. So we need to walk wisely. And Paul helps us here in knowing how to walk wisely. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. There are a lot of things, not sinful things that you can do with your time that maybe are not making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. We do live in evil days. They are short days, and before long, they're going to be gone. Our life, James says, is a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. I'm more aware of that now than I used to be. Some of you are as well, perhaps even more so. We must make the best use of our time. Now, you know what? Sometimes the best use of our time is to enjoy recreation. We need to unbend the bow. We need that rejuvenating effect. But we live in a time and an age when that seems to be, there's an overabundance of that. Of things to entertain us, amuse us. You know what the word amuse means literally? It means no think. That's from the Greek. We don't want to think, we just want to be amused. Amusement can be a good thing, like many other things, in moderation. So we need to learn to use the best. Do the things that are best. Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Because eternity is coming. Both for us and for others. So, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And here, when Paul talks about the will of the Lord, I think he has in mind big picture. What is God's agenda? Big picture. It is the redemption of this world and all in it. To His glory, right? Jesus gave us a great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. That's big picture. That is the will of the Lord. So the question is, what am I doing at this point in time to move towards that? How am I using my life, my time, for myself and for others, help to fulfill that? Do not be foolish. Wasting your time
understand what the Lord's will is.
It's not, he doesn't have in mind here vocational choices or spouse choices or those kinds of things. He's talking about big picture. What is the Lord's will, and what am I doing to help bring that to pass? And then another thing that helps us to walk in wisdom is to be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul contrasts the debauchery of being filled with wine, being drunk, with God's will of us being filled with the Spirit. And we can understand then what it means to be filled with the Spirit if we understand what it means to be filled with wine, right? When you're filled with wine, you're no longer really in control. You are under the control, the sway of the wine, the alcohol. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are under the control of the Holy Spirit. We no longer are belong to ourselves, but we belong to the Lord. And we overflow then, not with coarse jesting, not with crude talk, not with things that we're going to regret, but now we overflow with addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our hearts. In other words, with worship towards the Lord. So we need to walk in wisdom. That is, we need to know what's the best thing I can be doing now. Well, I can be involved in what God's will is, big picture. I can be filled with the Spirit so that I can accomplish that. So how are we going to walk in 2012? How are we going to walk tomorrow? Hopefully we will walk in love and in the light and in wisdom. A friend of mine several years ago shared with me that he took an anthropology class in college. And one of the things that he shared that he learned in that class is that from an anthropological perspective, walking is nothing more or less but a series of falls that are interrupted by the next step. All right? And when you think about it, that's true, because if you don't take the next step, what happens? If you need help taking the next step and you don't have the help taking that next step, some of us need help on a regular basis to take those steps. And if the thing that helps us take that step isn't there, what happens? We fall. Walking is a series of falls interrupted by a step. We are leaning on our legs, our feet, to keep us from falling on our faces. You know, walking in the Christian life is a series of falling on the Lord, leaning on the Lord. And that's what we need to learn. We need to learn that we do all that we do, we take every step by God's grace, depending on Him, looking to Him and trusting in Him. So what we do when we walk in love and walk in the light and walk in wisdom is not something we just kind of pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and say, I'm going to do this. We do it by totally, totally trusting in and depending upon the Lord. We need our God, who is our shepherd, our Savior, to lead us. And we're going to sing about that. Savior like a shepherd, lead us.